got one back there that's acting goofy right now. I'm not paying attention. Amen. I love my favorite Mexican back there, Jose. Man, he's a good boy. I told you, Lauren, I was going to leave you alone. It's Jose's turn. And I am thankful for my family being here today. You know, back in the old days when the guy would stand up to preach, he would always ask his wife to testify. And years ago, she told me it's time to break that tradition. So I stood up like any good man would and said, yes, ma'am, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Sounds like a great idea. But, you know, in this service today, it's my reading glasses are already fogged up. The end of my pocket. But, you know, I used to, when I was younger in the ministry, I used to look for things in the service that let me think, okay, you're on the right path. You've chosen right. It's all went well. And today, it could have all went through. Brother, they could have given you a Bible. You were right in the will of God. You could have preached this. Amen. And it's nice to feel the presence of God. We sang about worship and praise. And I tell you, there's nothing more important. I think so many churches have forgotten what it's like. It's funny. You know, sometimes God puts you in places you never expected. 3 miles down the road from me is a little Trinitarian church. And I'm still not quite sure what they believe. We all can agree on Jesus, and that's good enough for now. And they decided that, and I always sit on the front row when I go there because everyone else must be scared to death of me. They sit at the back. And they're not used to a loud mouth. I'm not even going to blame it on Pentecost. I'm just a big mouth. And they're not quite sure what, did I hear an amen there? I'm not sure. But they said, all right, we're going to take prayer requests. And they took a prayer request. And when someone says, all right, is that all the request? Let's pray. Well, to me, this is not prayer. And I just start praying like I would pray here. And I began to call angels down from heaven and fire from heaven and God to move and do miracles. And I look and these people are like... And I told them, I said, I will make no apologies when it looks like I act a bit extra in the house of God, because God has been more than enough for me in my life. And excuse me while I just say thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, and I want the world to know how thankful I am for you today. Let's stand and turn to Matthew 26. Hallelujah. And the crazy thing is they just keep asking me back. Because I tell you what this world wants and needs is a touch of the Holy Ghost like we have. And I don't care if I'm in a ditch somewhere or in a palace somewhere. My God is worthy to be praised in all that I do. And I refute Jeff Arnold, one of my favorite preachers, probably because he's rude and indignant. That's just the way he is. And I like that. And he saw a man worshiping Buddha one day, Matthew 26. Saw a man worshiping Buddha in a Chinese restaurant. Makes me not even want to eat Chinese anymore. And I love that French fried poodle. It's excellent. I love it. But he was sitting there worshiping that Buddha. And Jeff Arnold said, if he can worship his God in public, he took 2 steps to the side and began to call on the name of Jesus and began to worship his God. Verses 6 through 8. We all know the story. Jesus said, wherever the gospel's preached, they're going to talk about this lady.
All right.
It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon, on verse 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? To what purpose is, because that bottle of spikenard was a year's salary. A year's salary poured in one moment over your It's not waste, it's worship. Pastor, would you pray?
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord.
Oh, teach us the value of worship today. Hallelujah. Anoint the preacher. Oh, God, to preach. And anoint our ears to hear and hearts to receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Oh, amen. You can be seated today. I enjoyed. It felt just like I was sitting in Salem Apostolic Church when I felt the atmosphere of God today in this house as the people of God begin to worship in one mind and one accord unto their God. And it seems like this world is always desiring some kind. It seems like they're desiring that we would be a little bit quieter about our God. He radically saved me, and I'm not just going to give him a weak worship today. You see, he brought me out of the depths of the pit of sin and set my feet on a rock, and I refuse to be quiet today because it's not excess and it's not waste. It's worship today that I'm giving unto my God. I believe today with all of my heart that if we're not careful, we can become too dignified in the house of God. And I mean, now that's not just because I'm who I am. Some of you I know remember me when I was a quiet, shy little boy 112 years ago, but it happened. I couldn't even talk to anyone. I was so shy. But there was a man in our church, old Brother Frank. We were fishing at Rim Lake one day. You know, the Word of God says that Jesus moving on the face of the deep, that's where I want to be at.
Right.
And we were on the face of the deep catching catfish that day. And we go up to the fish cleaning station. And I don't know how in the world this guy was a master. You know, because we're good Christians, we don't ask them how the fishing was, what bait they were using. We tell them about Jesus, you know. So after I asked them what kind of bait they were using and how many they caught, old Frank Moore looked at him and he said, "Man, you got some nice catfish here. Where do you go to church at? How do you segue that fast?" But everything that was inside the heart of that man was all about Jesus. And everything that he lived was all about Jesus. And he wanted to use even the moment of cleaning catfish to tell somebody about his Jesus. You see, this world may look at the way that we live our lives and not understand. And that's okay. You have your sins forgiven. You have God put you on a rock. How do you think you're going to act if God releases you from all your trouble and your turmoil and your pain? I'm sorry if I can't be quiet this morning. He's a good God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, and this is one of my favorite verses, I don't know why, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." I don't drink. Tried to, but it didn't happen. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The previous verse said, you know, we need to discern what the will of God is. And the will of God is that we be filled with the Spirit. And you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and some of it not leak out everywhere that you go. In fact, the word said, "Out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water." Is it bad to say I expected just a little bit more?
All right now.
When I look at where he brought me from and where I'm standing today, and knowing that I'm not done yet and God's not done working on me and there's more for me than the goodness, the blessings, the healing, the mercy, the grace, there's more than that for me. Lord, as I hold my peace, the rocks are going to cry out because I come to say to my God, I thank you and I praise you for your goodness. Now the word of God here says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." That word excess, when you look up what it means, is unsavedness. Living like the unredeemed, reckless, extravagant, or wasteful, just like the prodigal lived. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine because that is excessive. That is excessive. That is the way the world lives. I am supposed to separate myself from this world and come out from among them and be separate. That's who nothing wrong with having nice cars. I thank God I didn't run a Porsche church. I like Mama's Buick. And she's thinking about trading down all the way down to a Chevrolet. We are going to have an altar call. My wife's going to be the first one there. I said, honey, maybe we need to look at a different kind of Buick or a Cadillac. You know why? Because my bones ache kind of some now. I'm getting old. And that Buick is nice and smooth. There's nothing wrong with having nice things in life. 16 years ago, my house burnt to the ground. God built it back bigger and better and put a wad of cash in my pocket when it happened. And my wife said, I don't want these kids that were in the process of adopting to tear my house up. And God said to her, you're welcome, honey, you can beat me later. He said, I didn't just build it for you. You see, everything God has given me had better be aimed towards Him. You see, there's times when God puts sums of money in our bank accounts and puts it into our lives. Isn't because we're just the greatest thing since ribeye. And that's pretty great. You and I have got to learn where I come to. God didn't put those 6 figures in my bank account because I'm such a great guy. There was people all around me who had need.
Amen.
And worship is not just what we do in the house of God. It's a lifestyle that we live. You see, my focus in this life is not getting the nicest car or the nicest home or the nicest bank account. I do have the nicest lawnmower. I got 4 bad boys, so you know, those are nice. I love my lawnmowers. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. That is riotous living. Trying to get a hold of all the gain that we can get was never the will of God for our lives. And it said, but be filled with the Spirit and what the Word of God means, and be filled with the Spirit. It's like, and I thought it was funny when I looked up Matthew Henry. He must have been a fisherman too. He said, it's like taking a net and filling it up and then cramming more and more and more down inside of it. When God said, you and I need to be crammed completely full of Him and the will of God in our lives. Because until we are, when our eyes are on the things of this world, it's going to affect our worship.
Amen.
I think we have forgotten about the power of everyone in the sanctuary at one moment and one time lifting their voice unto their God. You cannot get too much of God. There is no such thing as an excess of the Spirit of God. There were 10 more virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And they said, give us some of your wine. And they said, we barely have enough for ourselves. I heard, I don't remember the preacher's name, but he preached this very first. He said, we ain't drunk as we supposed to be.
All right.
Do you suppose they come out of that upper room like, guess what? I remember I was 12 years old. Got the Holy Ghost. Sister Velma Bailey sat right there where her granddaughter's sitting right now. She said, you ain't going to church camp? Paid my way to church camp. God filled me Tuesday morning with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know what I did, brother? I sat there telling people, you got the Holy Ghost? I got the Holy Ghost today. You got the Holy Ghost? I got the Holy Ghost today. I was excited about what God had done in my life. And I want to tell you, I don't ever want to get to the point that I'm not full of God. Because you're going to be filled one way or the other. And I don't want it to be a mixture of this world and my God. And you can tell a heart and a soul that is completely full of God. Because they'll come and worship out of their heart and their spirit. No matter what they're walking through. Lord, let me live in the overflow today, oh God. Help me, Lord, to understand that my worship, the way, God, that I ascribe worth to you. In Exodus chapter 8, let's go there very quickly. I want to show you something. I actually only have that many notes and I stretched out part of them. Which didn't mean I just want to get to the buffet before anyone else. But if it happens, thank you, Jesus. Let's go to, where did I say, Exodus 8, 27. I'm in Ezra. That's not quite Exodus. Exodus 8, 27, 28. I had it marked, and someone spilled coffee on my Bible. The pages are stuck together, son. And I assume after the year's over and I've read every single page that it's going to be okay. Exodus 8, 27 and 28. Hear the word of the Lord. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God. And He shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. He said, you can go and worship your God, but don't go too far. How do you go too far with a man that has given you life and that more abundantly? How high do you rejoice in your God when He has set you up on a pedestal, pulled you out of the valley, and put you on the mountaintop, and even more than all that He has done for you and I?
Hallelujah.
How about just worship Him? Worship Him because of who He is. You see, I could be having the worst year of my life, and He's still righteous, and He's still holy, and He's still good, and I can be walking through what seems like a literal hell, and I can always turn my eyes upon Jesus, and He's the same yesterday, and today, and forever, and because of who He is, I give worth than all that I do to Him today. Let's do that for just a moment, Lord. I worship You, God, because You are God Almighty. You are on the throne. You are good today. But this world doesn't mind living in their excess. But they tell me, when you worship, don't go too far. I was preaching in jail in Salem one day. Man walked in, I didn't even know who he was. He ended up being coroner. Don't know why he was in the jail, but nonetheless. I got done, they told me, they said, you have 10 minutes. That might work for some people. Not 10 minutes don't work for me when God starts moving. I told him, I said, I'll fix the problem real quick. Send them all in at once and give me an hour. That didn't work either. But this man walked in there, and I saw two men begin to weep before God in that jail. And something inside of me says, I have 10 minutes, and that 10 minutes is up. I can't stop. I can't stop. These men need God. God is delivering them from the things that have burdened them for so many years. I cannot stop here. And this man looked at me and he said, we need to be mindful of our time allotment. And I said, and I'm going to mind the things of God, because there's two men that are hanging in the balance today. They're hanging, and this is their destiny. This is their time. This is their moment. So you can take your minutes. You'll tell someone else, God didn't have a time clock. And I'm sorry, I mean no disrespect whatsoever. But I saw God moving on somebody and changing their life forever. And I'm supposed to say, just that's enough. Don't go too far, or you out of your ever-loving mind.
All right now.
You know what Jesus did to reach out for me?
Yes. Yes, He did.
I'll never go too far this side of heaven worshiping and giving all that I have to my God today. The world will try to tell you that's excessive. Sit down. Be quiet. Don't act that way. And I realize I might not be the normal Pentecostal preacher. I've been told I'm not even normal, and that's okay. My ADHD is so bad, I see a squirrel run across the room, and I'm talking to Jason, and he's like, quit watching the squirrels, Dale, what was you saying? And that's just the way I am. I go crazy, and God give me a little girl just like that. Love you, baby. so glad she's here today. But the world will try to tell you, you just sit there and you be quiet. And you be dignified. I was in a church one day and the pastor said, just sit there and worship God in your heart. Brother, can you define that for me? Just worship God in your heart? That's like an unspoken prayer request. How can it be a request if you didn't say anything? Duh. I'm sorry, but I heard that my whole life and it never made sense. An unspoken request. I don't know. How can I sit there and be quiet if I truly, and I know I act up a lot, that's just the way I go on all of my life. My father-in-law said it so correctly. You get an idiot, you get him filled with the Holy Ghost, you got an idiot with the Holy Ghost. So that's just what happens sometimes. I just can't help it. I'm like a little squirrel going crazy up here. But I know who God is.
Yes.
I see people looking and searching and coming, and they do everything that they can to find something for the spirits and their souls. They try out new dresses and new cars and new homes and new spouses and all these kind of things, trying to fill an emptiness, and they're only creating a greater void inside of them. But when you get to the point of being filled with God, there is no limit to what God wants to do for you. So let there be no limit on my worship and my praise unto my God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just about done. I want to make a couple more points. God, don't let us forget the power of our praise.
Amen.
And our worship. There are things that people have prayed for so many years. When are we going to start praising God? For already being the answer.
Yeah.
When are we going to start giving glory to a God who's already got it figured out and doesn't need my help to make it happen?
That's right.
I prayed one day and I told God, if you do this, God, don't you see what would happen? And God, in His usual form, said to me, I don't need you shoring up my reputation. I'm God.
All right, now. All right.
Well, thank you, Lord. I was on your side right there. Thank you for that. I don't have. You see, part of the reason that we don't worship like we should is we really don't know Him like we should. We just don't know Him like we should. You see, I taught earlier this morning about the things that we can go through in life. And through all of the things that I've walked through in my life, I have found out who God is. And I found out that God will never leave me and never forsake me. I found out He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it makes me live my life just a little bit different than the guy down the road who's never experienced the kind of grace and mercy that I have. Quickly to 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. Turn right in your book. You'll find it. 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles. There we go. 2 Kings 6. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 6. Verses 12 through 22. Hallelujah. I know in my heart. It was 1 o'clock this morning. I was still up. Seeking God, praying about this message. Asking God to give me wisdom and help me. Because if God doesn't show up, it's just going to be a joke-telling session. And I felt the Spirit of God come over me and I couldn't even speak. I just wept before God. And the whole time there may not have been any words coming out of my mouth. But there was something down deep inside of me that it just began to overflow in my spirit that I want to be a worshiper, God. I want them to say he's a worshiper. He realized how much you were worth in his life, Jesus. He realizes that, and I just begin to have an overflow of emotion. My God is, there's so many people who live their entire lives and they never come to that point of realizing who he is. I was in this church one time. I was doing a little fishing in the church. I fish everywhere I go, so it makes sense to go fishing in the church. I didn't quite know what they believed. Didn't know what denomination they were. They just said, would you come? Absolutely. I showed up and I said, do you believe that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is without error and is true 100%? Oh, absolutely. Every single word. Good. You do well. So I got a question for you. I said, is there any place in the Word that it does not make sense or does not... help me, Pastor. What's the word I'm trying to look for? You know, you need to know what I'm thinking. Yeah, there's no conflict anywhere in any way in the Word of God, and everything spoken there correlates with absolutely good. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Peter said in Acts 2:38, go ye therefore. No, that was still Jesus. Okay, Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If there is no conflict in the Word, and every part of the Word supports itself, then the issue is, both men said the same thing. And they said, it's not possible. I said, you just said, and that word that you proclaim to be holy and without error, that is forever settled in heaven. And they looked at me like, what? I said, Jesus and Peter said the exact same thing. You want to know why it was a stumbling block to them? Because they didn't know who Jesus was.
Amen. All right.
There are people that we may call weird and dumb the way they worship God, but they might have a greater revelation than what we have ever known about who He is. There are some people who can't worship Him like we do, because they don't know Him like we do. I want to go very quickly. I just felt like I needed to add that in quickly. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. Let me grab my glasses. Verse 12. Second Samuel, I'm on Kings. No wonder that didn't make sense. Thank you, Lord. I praise God for that great wisdom right there. Verse 12. And it was told David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God. Now what was the ark of God? It was very significant. It was the presence of God. It was symbolic of the presence of God. They brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. He danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. He was wearing the priestly or the garments of a king that day. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet, and the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. And when it came, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered mercy sins and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, David was worshiping with everything that he had. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women and men and to everyone, a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house, and David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She didn't even let him get inside. She was one mad woman. You see, Michal understood the pomp and circumstance of the king's house. She was raised there. David knew what it was like to have to fight to protect everything that his father had. He knew what it was like when the giant reared its head and began to defy the armies of the living God. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" And he went up before a giant and he slew the giant when all the other warriors was afraid. And that teenage boy did great things that day. This is the kind of man that worshiped God with his whole heart and his whole mind and his whole spirit. But there are going to be people among you who may not love your God like you do, and that's okay. And she looked at David and she said, "How glorious was the king today. You took off the garments of a king and you danced before the maidservants." And he said, "I did it as unto the Lord." You see, there was something in the heart of David. The mistake, the greatest mistake of the reign of King Saul, because it signified the presence of God, that there was blessing and there was peace and there was righteousness. I've come to tell somebody, every time the church doors open, you need to try to be here for one reason, because that's where the corporate worship happens and miracles begin to happen, when in one mind and one accord the people of God begin to worship and begin to praise. And he looked at her, knowing all that God had already done for him and his life.
Right.
And she said, "Sure," and he said, this is paraphrasing, "but you're the king, David." And David was saying, "But he's my king. And he's more important than anything that I'll ever attain in this life. So there has got to come a worship out of my spirit. God, not only because of all that he's done for me, but because he's God and God alone. If I wait to give praise and glory and worship to God when everything's going right in my life, it'll never happen." She said, "How glorious was the king this day." It had nothing to do with King David. Nothing to do. I've come to tell somebody, when I live my life and I have an overflow in my spirit because I've crammed it full of God, you're going to know about it. This world may tell you don't go too far. They may tell you just sit there and be quiet and just feel, you know, whatever it is you feel in church. I don't believe all of that. I remember one time, Uncle Danny, I trapped my first pimp.
Dad.
You remember that day? Uncle Danny took me down there in that old car that his grandma used to own. That old, ugly-looking car. I run off in the ditch one night. Fairmont or something. I don't know. Fairlane. And he took me down to that woods where I had some coon traps set. And he took me down there and I looked and I saw a coon in one of my traps. Very first one I ever trapped. I went over screaming and squalling and bawling and having a fit and so excited. And Uncle Danny said to me,
I've never seen you get that excited in church. Now, he's a big boy, so I couldn't slap him. I was afraid he'd hurt me. I pray. I'm 56 years old. I've lived a lot of life, seen a lot of things, been through a lot. Wish I hadn't been through a lot of it. Stupidity will take you places you don't want to go. One thing I found out in this life, my prayer was, God, I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. And there are times when it looks like excess. There was an amount of money one time. I had just lost my job, just had a bunch of surgeries, wasn't able to do anything. We're down at the Coast of the Times in Louisiana. They're taking up requests to get missionaries back into the field. Only I don't have any supply of money right now. And God spoke a number to me. Yeah, God, you haven't even looked at my billfold, God. You know. And I turned around to my wife. And I said, you know what number God just told me? She said, wow, double it. I said, woman, you are nuts. Did you know we have to drive home? We're going to have to push this Chrysler minivan from the top of Louisiana the rest of the way home. And she said, double it. I want to tell somebody something. I know when my God tells me to give something, that there is a blessing attached to the back end of that thing. And I wrote that check, and I was hoping that Brother Mangan didn't get to the bank before I did. And we wrote that check. And I'm driving home, and I'm blue. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But worship is more than just getting excited in the house of God.
Amen.
God said, that's not your money, that's my money. And we wrote that check and we gave it. And I went home and I said, Lord, I always promised you that I would be the provider for my family, and I don't know what I'm going to do right now. I'm just going to make a long story short. God put something in my hands, and it became more profitable than anything I've ever touched in my life. And God has blessed me and been so good. I come to tell somebody today, you say, what's that got to do with worship? Worship is something so much more than get excited in the house of God. It says, God, you're worth more than anything that I have in this life. And if you ask for it, it's yours. God, how can I deny some homeless lady a pizza when, God, I have more ribeye in my freezer than I know what to do with at times? Because I love a good ribeye about three times a day. You know, I don't care what place that God may elevate me to in His kingdom. I don't ever want to forget that the higher I go in God, the greater my worship better be. What will this type of worship produce in you and I? I want to show you what the... if you would turn to Ezekiel 46, and I'm closing. Thank you, Jesus. I touched my Bible open, and it opened right up to it. Now, in the previous two chapters here, God had spoke about the corporate worship and the way to do those things. He was talking about worship. And here in verse 46, verse 9, it says, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth in by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate, whereby he came in, that he shall go over against it. The word of the Lord said, if you enter in to the house of God one way because of worship, it should cause you to leave a completely different way. There are people who have never been changed in the house of God. But the Word of God says, if you enter in one way, I taught you about worship. I showed you about worship. We've worshiped God. And now I'm telling you that when you enter in this way, that it is not my will for you to leave the house of God the same way you came. And worship will change me and cause me to leave the house of God different than when I came in to the house of God. And you're wondering, how am I ever going to get over what I'm going through? How about we worship our God, and God can change it completely and change us, and we can walk out of the house of God different than the way that we walked in. And we can do it by our worship. That's what the Word of God says. I want to go over to chapter 47, verse 1. Afterward, after all these things are done, he's given the ordinances for public worship. How we enter, how we leave. Talked about the daily offerings and the boiling of the offerings and the east gate and the prince's offerings and all the offerings that they gave to God. And then in verse 47, it says afterward, or chapter 47, verse 1, afterward he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house. Because worship happened in the house of God, something proceeded forth out from under the threshold. You see, their worship unto God did not stay contained inside those four walls. I want to read on today. It continued or issued from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side on the house and on the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the north gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the inner gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when a man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. This is a vision that Ezekiel had. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. It seemed like everywhere, the farther you went out because of the worship that happened inside the house of God, something went out and began to proceed forth out of the house of God. And the farther away from the house of God, that water got deeper and that water got wider, and it began to produce great things. I want to keep on reading. All because of worship. Now when I had returned, there were many trees. Verse 8, and he said to me, these waters issue out east toward the east country. Go down into the desert and go into the sea, which brings forth into the sea. The waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass, verse 9, that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because the waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. What has just happened in the house of God? They were in one mind and one accord, worshiping their God. And when they did that, God gave the man of God a vision. And he began to see water run underneath the threshold. And the farther that it went, the more that it did. And the deeper it got, and the wider it got. And it began to produce trees, and began to produce fish. And it began to run over desert places, and fill them up. And it began to go into other places, and heal the waters. Don't you understand? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's all stand today. I don't want to be a gloom and doom preacher, but I come to tell somebody the church is getting ready to see an unprecedented revival like they've never seen before. And do you think the enemy of our soul is just going to sit back and let that happen? I come to tell somebody it's not going to take long, and there's going to be a very clear division between the believer and the unbeliever. And I can look around when I walk out the doors of my church, and I can look at all the people going by, living their life, doing their thing. You see, the problem is, in the day of the coming of the Lord, He said it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with marrying and giving in marriage. I gave my daughter to a great young man of God, and I'm thankful that I have some very beautiful and wise daughters-in-law that I'm thankful for, because my boys are just like me. They needed someone like that. And they were eating and drinking, and there's nothing wrong with that, because we have to do that to survive. But they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Where is my worship being placed in? Because everything that has breath is going to praise the Lord. You ever wonder why in the jungles and in the Congo there'll be a man that'll take a stick and put a ball on it, and he'll raise it up and he'll worship it, because inside of every one of us is a design by our Creator to worship. And we're going to worship something in our life. I've come to tell you there's going to be great revival. But I'm going to tell you the church is getting ready to face the tribulation. And I want to see my brothers and my sisters. And I want to see my neighbors and the man down the road. And those people in the nursing home. I want to affect them. And the Word of God says, by my worship, something proceeds forth out of the house of God to my church. Not just to my church, but to my neighbors. And everywhere that I go, don't you understand the value of worshiping your God with all of your heart? And never be ashamed of the way that you ascribe worth and glory and honor unto Him. And it may look weird to this world, but this world is not my home. Hallelujah. And I don't belong here. I'm a citizen of another country. And I'm sorry if my worship and my allegiance doesn't say always, thank God where I'm at, because I want to live in another place one day. And my goal in this life is to hear Him say, well done. And I'm going to know when I've got myself crammed full of God, there's going to be a worship come forth out of me that cannot be stopped. There's going to be a praise of a mouth everywhere that I go. I don't want to live like this world, who only seeks after status and all the good things of this life. And I apologize if it seems like I'm just a big mouth guy who repeats himself a lot. This world is not my home, but I'm going to do something while I'm here in this world that will affect my generations. Who never thought there'd be a preacher come out of Homer and LaDonna Burley? Who thought that there would be a son rise up after me, preach the gospel? Who ever thought my daughter would marry a pastor? Who ever thought some of them good young men, when pastor needs something in the church, he said, I know what family I can call on. You want to know why? Because we want to live our lives as worshipers. I'm not exalting me in any way. I'm showing you what God can do through people if you let Him. Right. drive to my church one more time and look at the sin all around me and not do something about it?
That's right.
I don't want to go to Walmart and look down the aisles and see people with empty hearts and minds and not think that I can't do something about that. My worship can literally change everything around me. I come to tell somebody today, you're looking for a change in your life. You're looking for something more than what you've had before. I welcome you to become a worshiper today of God. And forget about the things of this world. Stop reaching for them. Stop using your energy for them. The world would say you're going too far. That's too much. But I cannot help myself when I'm full of God. I cannot help myself. But everywhere that I go to worship my God. If they would, just to come forward today. You ever have a great plan lined out in your mind of exactly how the service is going to go when you get done preaching? This wasn't it. And that's okay. Well, it's okay for me. If it ain't okay with Pastor, he'll let me know. Would you come today? The word of the Lord says, because of worship, you can come in one way and leave another way. The Word of God says that I can offer something unto my God and be changed forever. I come to tell somebody you're looking and you're seeking and you want something that you haven't found before. I've come to tell you Jesus Christ is your answer today. And I want the church just begin to lift their hands and begin to lift their hearts and their voices toward their God and begin to worship, because this is the way we battle. This is the way we do our work. This is the way that our nation, this is the way that our city, this is the way that we affect them today by our worship. And it'll literally change my life forever when I have the attitude of a worshiper. Let us worship them over them today. In the name.